Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
You know, the last few weeks we have been proclaiming the good news that God can heal you everywhere that you hurt. That God can heal you spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, that He can heal you in your relationships, that He is the one who heals the heart, the you beyond the physical you, talking about the spiritual you, the mental you, the emotional you. Tell the person next to you, tell them there's more to you than meets the eye. And now turn to them again and say, and this is where you get complicated. Isn't that the truth? If the injured heart doesn't heal, you become even more complicated. Insecure, sensitive, fragile, thirsty, overreacting, overthinking, guarded. How come y'all are getting so quiet? Imagining stuff, thinking stuff. If there's not a drama, you can make one. That's the kind of stuff like injury can do to us, and internal hurt. I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind. I want to be as uncomplicated as possible, and I want uncomplicated relationships. Anybody else feel that way? Maybe you haven't thought about it. Think about it. Like the best relationships are the ones that aren't complicated. You're always going to have to, like, you know, explain yourself. And you always have to go around wondering if you hurt somebody's feelings. And I always have a because somebody, please. Like, can we not get set free? Can we not be healed? Can we not all work on being whole so that we don't have all of those extra complications? I'm just telling you, God can heal you everywhere you hurt. So the good news is, and let's look at it, Psalm 147, the Psalm says He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up the wounds. Luke 4, Jesus shared His mission statement, and He literally just said it like that. He said, heaven sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus also said in John 14, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not like the world gives. And then He makes the statement, He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. That's so empowering. Like that He says it as if we have the power to not allow our hearts to be troubled. And then He says, do not be afraid. As if we have the power. You know, what I want you to understand about that is that He's actually, what He's saying is true. And wherever our ability stops, His picks up. And when we do the best we can do, God does the rest that we cannot do. But we have to make the decision. And so this weekend, I want to talk to you about the pattern. Everybody say the pattern. Come on, say it really loud. Say the pattern.
Pattern.
The pattern. I want to talk about the pattern in your pain. I want to talk about the pattern of your healing. See, pain is unavoidable. But staying hurt is optional. No one who is hurt has to stay hurt. We were created to heal. Physically, we were created that way. Emotionally, God already put that ability and potential within us to be able to heal from our hurts. There's a story in the book of Acts, chapter 16, that I want to use as the premise for our talk time today. And the story is about two guys named Paul and Silas who were pioneers in the early church. And they were going into towns and cities with the message of Jesus. And as they did that, the haters hated. And they became targets. And they were attacked. And Paul and Silas were beaten with rods and thrown into prison. Not a very good day. They were victims of hate and injustice, treated unfairly. They didn't deserve the pain that they went through. But I want to focus for a moment on Acts 16 and verse 25, just one verse. And here's how it reads. At the end of that tough day, it says about midnight. In the place of their pain, by the way, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What I want you to notice is the counterintuitive nature of their response to pain. It wasn't a typical, predictable response. I mean, chances are that no one had ever sang songs of worship in that prison before. It's not how you would normally or naturally respond to a day of hurt and pain and abuse and being shouted and screamed at and belittled. And this is not the intuitive response. And the reason that people stay hurt is that most people respond to hurt by doing something that feels like the right and natural response. And that's what I'm referring to today as the pattern of pain. Because it feels normal, natural, what any other person would do. But when we do it, it brings us the opposite results than what we desire. The pattern of pain is instinctive, intuitive, it's human, it's natural. But it doesn't bring healing into our lives. Are you with me so far? Like, anger doesn't bring healing. And blaming doesn't bring healing. Like, that's our normal human, like we would say, I'm just human, right? We would defend that behavior, like, but I want to just interrupt that today and talk about it and see if we can't come into agreement about some things here. Shutting down emotionally doesn't bring healing. And that kind of intuitive, natural response, in fact, has a domino effect of literally creating more pain and more collateral damage, piling hurt on top of hurt, on top of hurt. Married couples, someone hurt someone, and then the one who is hurt says, I will hurt back. And it's hurt on top of hurt. Children feel hurt by a father, and they say, I will hurt back. And it creates hurt on top of hurt. We watch the news today. We watch hate in action all around America today. And we're like, what's going on? These people are crazy. It's hurt on top of hurt on top of hurt. It's instinctive. It's intuitive. It's justified in our minds. And then it becomes generational. And I just came to announce and talk about it with those who would hear us. This third installment of this series about healing the heart, that talking about the wrong or the injustice doesn't bring healing. Cursing doesn't bring healing. Being bitter doesn't bring healing. Being vindictive doesn't bring healing. You know what brings healing? The counterintuitive decision is what brings healing. Engaging in the pattern of healing that is counterintuitive to our nature. Something like singing in a prison at midnight in your pain is what creates an opportunity for God to work supernaturally and do what we cannot do in the place of our pain. Well, what does that look like, Pastor Kevin? It looks like hands up when heart is down. It's worship in the pain that brings healing. It's forgiveness when you want to strike back. That's what brings healing. It's seeing the good in the struggle that brings healing. Like some of you are like, well, there's just nothing good about this. There's a book out, you can get it before you leave, called Good Things. Great book, amazing, you need to check it out. Like, because there's always something good in everything that's going on in our lives. In all things, God works for the good. And looking for and locating and finding the good, even in the horror, that's where healing can begin to happen. Putting yourself out there to love like you've never been hurt is what I'm talking about, the pattern. Everybody say the pattern. Pattern. Say it again, say the pattern. Pattern. One more time, say the pattern. Pattern. Talking about the promises of God. That's what brings healing. Confessing faith and self-affirmation. That's what brings healing. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I am strong. I am strong. The Bible doesn't say, let the weak just admit it. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. You know why? Because when the person who is in a weakened condition begins to say, opposite of what they feel, counterintuitive to everything that they're sensing or feeling in their life, when they began to take steps that are counterintuitive steps with the words that they form in their mouth, they began with self-affirmation, a pattern of healing, a pattern of strength. I can do all things. The Apostle Paul says, through Christ who strengthens me. You know, this week I thought about two different beautiful young women in our church family. And one is in Tacoma campus and one is at the Bellevue campus, who have scars on their arms from cutting themselves. Internal pain is no joke. And it creates all kinds of self-harm. destructive behavior. And cutting is one of those. Cutting is a response to internal pain. That's what I'm talking about. The pattern. It's a pattern of pain. One of those young ladies sat in service on a baptism weekend as I was appealing for people, even in the final moments of the service, to make a decision, like spontaneously just make up your mind, do what you really want to do in your heart, and be baptized before you leave. And she was sitting in the high level here at our central campus, and her story is that she wanted, with everything in her, she wanted to be baptized, but a little voice in her head kept telling her that if you go down to get baptized, that people are going to see the scars on your arm. And in that struggle, she made the counterintuitive decision to not worry about what people would think. She pushed past her fear. She put herself out there. She came down the aisle with tears rolling down her face. She got baptized that day. In that moment, you know what happened? It was bigger than just a baptism. In that moment, what she literally did is that she interrupted the pattern of pain that had been controlling her choices. And she began, in one moment of courage, a new pattern. She took a counterintuitive step toward a new pattern of healing in her own life. The other young lady has also done the counterintuitive thing as well. She too surrendered her life to Jesus. She's been baptized. She's now part of our team in the Bellevue, at the Bellevue campus. And what brought all this up is just last week I was looking on social media and I saw her post about this very topic. And she just shared, she had on long sleeves and she just shared a little bit about her journey on social media and how she used to cut herself and that she has cuts on her arm. And then that got interrupted. And that's been quite a while. I think it's been a couple of years ago that interruption took place. And she just shared a little bit of her story. And as I looked at it and I read the story, like I thought, this is what the pattern of healing looks like. This is what a pattern of healing. The scars that caused the shame and the embarrassment are now scars that remind her that God is healing her, that the past is behind her. Come on, that the future is a place of health and wellness and wholeness. I don't know if you've ever broken a bone, but I've broken 8. I am the specialist on the bone breaking scenario. And if you have, you know that it's not just the bone getting broken, but then there's a pattern that when you move around, you know, when you're hurt, to accommodate and compensate for the injury. So if your arm gets broke, you might want to like hold it. Like one staff member said to me this week, they said, I had a broken arm. I can relate to that. Like, and then when the sling is off and the cast is gone and I'm at the doctor's and I'm just holding it like this, and the doctor's like, you can't be holding your arm like that. Why are you holding your arm like that? And he's like, well, because I was afraid. I'm afraid if I start putting it out there again, like it's gonna hurt my arm. I don't and the doctor's like, No, you can't be, we gotta get you in therapy. See, that's why a therapist comes alongside us to push us into a pattern of healing. I remember when I had a broken, like I could go through all of them, ankles, knees, hips, whatever you want to talk about, I got it. But I remember my leg was broken and I remember the therapist came into the room, like this is straight out of like surgery and all that, and like said, okay, get up, let's go. We're going to take a walk. And I'm like, no, you might take a walk. I ain't going nowhere. I'm good right here. That's how you feel, right? Like, no. And after a few minutes of me negotiating the best I knew how, like, she literally just grabbed my leg and just flipped it off the, like, shoom, off the bed. And my body could do nothing but come up, like, shoom, I'm up. She's like, we're walking today. You're okay, come on. You know, therapists, that's the thing you got to understand. They're not there to coddle you. They're there to get you well. They're not there to make you feel all warm. Remember that, if you would. Next time I visit your neighborhood and it feels like I'm slapping you, just remember, I love you. I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to get you well. Just remember that. A therapist doesn't try to... The therapist is not there to be popular with you. The therapist is there to see that you get back out of your pattern of injury and get back into a pattern of healing. Are you getting this? That's the way back to wellness is a counterintuitive, like it's a little by little, like it feels better to walk like this right now, you know, because I've been hurt. But wellness says, no, straighten up. No, you start walking in a way that may freak you out a little bit when you start doing it because of what you suffered and what you've gone through. But that's what healing does. The path of healing, it says you do a different pattern than your mind and your internal self is screaming at you to do. You engage, you like push it a little bit further. I'm gonna walk today, I'm gonna walk a little bit further today. I'm gonna walk with my head high today. I'm gonna put one foot out in front of the other. I'm not gonna nurse this, I'm not gonna curse this, I'm not gonna rehearse this. I am on my way to being well, I am on my way to being healthy, I am on my way to being healed. Come on, let's all clap our hands right now for the healing grace of God. Life is a contact sport. And because of that, people have family hurts, people have boyfriend hurts, girlfriend hurts, husband hurts, wife hurts, church hurts, church hurts, church hurts. Church hurts. I can't tell you how many times that I've had people tell me, as if I've never heard it before, and explain the graphic nature of an injustice or something that wasn't fair, something that someone said to them, or what happened at church, an incident, an usher, the leader of the worship team, hurt. It hurts. I'm thinking about the story of a cowboy who, you know, he was clean, but he wore cowboy boots and old boots and jeans to church, and he went to a prestigious church in the city where they were all sophisticated and wore, you know, suits and dressed nice and all that, and he stuck out like a sore thumb. You know, he's sitting there in church that day, and the people didn't like it because he dressed the way he did, and so they got to the pastor, told the pastor about it. Did you see that guy coming to church like that? And so pastor went and talked to him and said, hey, you know, if you look around, we don't dress like that at this church. And so he said, yes, Reverend, yes, Reverend. He was real polite and nice. And so what I'd like you to do is I'd like you this week to think about that and then, you know, just pray. Ask the Lord how you should dress when you come back to church. And the cowboy walked away and he came back the next weekend, looked the same. had his boots on and jeans on, and it got everybody all the more upset in that high-end kind of church, you know. And so the pastor, now he knew he had to do something because the people, you know, were upset. And so he went and talked to the guy again, and he said, "I thought I told you not to dress that way when you come here to church." And cowboy said, "Yes, sir." "Did you hear me?" He said, "Yes, sir." "Did you do what I asked you to do?" "Well, yes, sir." You prayed about it." I did, sir. I prayed about it." "Well, if you prayed about it, what did God tell you? Like, how did God tell you that you should dress when you come here to church?" And the cowboy said, "Well, sir, God said he didn't know because he had never been to this church before." I just want you to understand that at any church you go to, there's humanity. And it's life. It's a contact sport. Stuff gets done. Stuff gets said. Come on. We got to get through this idea that we can do life and not have hurt. You can't do life and not have hurt. No more than you can play football and not have injury. Like, the longer you play, the fact is you are going to suffer some kind of pain. And that's the way it is in life, which is why we need to know that he has come to heal the brokenhearted, that he has come to help us when our spirit is crushed. I got a note from somebody this week who was sharing with me that he had been sexually abused as a child. And in fact, let me just pause and say thank you to everyone who has written us these past couple weeks and your encouragement, the cards, the emails. Thank you so much. I do feel like God has really, his grace in this word that we're sharing has been unusually strong and great. And I can tell people are receiving it. And this person wrote and just said that for years he had kept it suppressed, didn't tell people, became confused, bitter, and even though he was innocent, he was ashamed. Even though it wasn't his fault, he said it affected him in negative ways, and it affected his relationship with other people, it affected his relationship with God, just felt stuck in this pattern. And then one day he's reading his Bible, and a verse that he had heard before and even maybe read before was like right in front of him, staring at him. And the verse is where Jesus said, "Forgive those who have sinned against you. If you don't, your heavenly Father won't forgive you your sins." And he said it was like it just hit him. And in that moment, he's like, I can't keep doing this. So what he did, as simple as it sounds, is that in that moment, he decided, "I'm going to turn this over to God, and I'm going to let it go. I'm going to give this to God." This is what I'm talking about when I say pattern of healing. He then said he reached out to somebody that he trusted. He gave him permission to check up on him on a regular basis, ask him point blank, "How you doing? What are you going through? What are you thinking?" He said he started speaking forgiveness out loud every day over the people who had hurt him. He said he also made it a point to encourage other people who were walking through a similar kind of story in their own life. I'm talking, you hear what I'm saying to you today? Pattern. And then he said the toughest part was to pray for those that hurt him. He said it took time to get there. But he said, "When I got there, it was so freeing. It was so liberating." And I'm sharing that with you today because I want you to understand the power of the pattern. The power of this pattern the hurt pattern, the pain pattern, to just hold you in to a repetitious cycle that builds up and continues and mounts up versus this pattern of healing. When you interrupt this pattern and you start this pattern, the power of a simple decision followed by an act that you don't feel like doing and choices you don't feel like making. But what happens is that just like Paul and Silas, let's talk about it. They pray. Let me just show you the verse, what happened a little bit after at midnight they sang. Well, look what happened in verse 26. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Everyone, like, the prison could not hold prisoners no more. Now, don't try to think too much about that, because you might think, well, some of them people probably deserve to be in prison and they shouldn't be set free. And let's leave that to God, okay? But the point is that something big started happening. And it didn't just stop with two guys. Like, the prison doors open. And I think the greatest part, if you read on in the story, is the jailer, who was over and in charge of making sure that they stayed in the prison, was so impacted by what happened and that he witnessed it, that he went home and gathered all the kids and all the family and all the cousins and all the aunts and all the nieces, and he got them all to go back to a river somewhere close by there, and the whole household was baptized that night by Paul and Silas and the disciples. They were all converted. Because, hear me on this, our healings are not just for us. And we've been saying that every week. Like, if, when you have the courage to say, I'm not going there no more, I'm going here. It's like a little dance. And there, my grandson does something kind of like this. I don't really know. I'm not sure how it goes, but something like, I don't know, but I don't even try. Okay. Thank you for that wisdom. I appreciate that. I'll receive that. Preach, don't dance. Okay. I got it. But our healings are not just for us. Our healings are for other people. And when you interrupt that pattern, the Holy Spirit just comes alongside of you. And it empowers us to empower others. You never know what God will do to use your journey and use your breakthrough and use your story to open up the doors of other people's prison of pain and create an opportunity for healing in their life. Pattern. Shout it. I want to make sure you're getting it. Shout pattern. Horatio Spafford was a prominent lawyer, businessman who lived in Chicago in the 1800s. And he had some traumatic events happen in his life. The first was the loss of a 2-year-old son in the massive Chicago fire in 1871. The fire also destroyed a lot of the properties that he owned, impacting him severely financially. 2 years later, he and his family had planned to go on a trip to Europe. And in a late, last-minute change of plans, he was delayed on business. It had to do with zoning problems following the Great Chicago Fire and some property that he owned there. And he sent his family on ahead of him. And the plan was for him to come after them and meet up with them. While crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship that his family was on had a collision that sank the boat, and all four of Spafford's children died. His wife's name was Anna, and she sent a telegram. It was only two words. She sent him a telegram that said, "Saved alone." Shortly after that, Spafford traveled to meet his grieving wife, and the ship that he was on passed near the waters where his daughters had died. And it was in that moment, in that same vicinity, that created such great pain that he wrote a now famous hymn that has been the source of ongoing strength to millions of people. You might recognize that it starts with, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to." And you want to maybe, if you know the song, use the word "say" right there, because that's how we sing it. But the original is the word "know." And it's even more powerful to me. "Thou hast taught me to know, know, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well." You know it? "With my soul, with my soul, it is well, it is well." You never know how God will use your healing to help heal others. I said, you never know when you don't do the intuitive thing, when you choose the counterintuitive, you never know. You never know. Like when you want to keep the argument going, but you humble yourself and you say, "I'm sorry. I don't want to do this anymore. I want us to heal." You never know. I said, you never know how moments like that can change the trajectory of your children's life. You never know, like, if you keep doing this, how bad it could be. And you never know, if you begin to do this, how good it could actually be. Like, if you want to keep talking about it, like over here, like that's one thing that could really send your life in a direction that you really don't want it to go. But you never know. If you start to just do what doesn't feel easy to do in the moment and the place of your pain, you say things that you don't really feel. Like you say, "It is well. You taught me to know it is well. You taught me to know that you're with me. You taught me to know you never forsake." Like you never know what God could do to take that pattern of healing, and not only heal you, but serve to benefit the life and the healing and the health of other people. Last night I was I was with one of our young team members, and 28 years old right now. He's been on the platform today. He told me the story. I didn't know this about him. His father abandoned him when he was just really young, and he told me how much it hurt, and he said, you know, I even reached out to my dad. I contacted him. I told him I loved him. I told him I miss him. I told him I wanted him in my life, and it's like my dad just never really came back around. And he said it went on over 20 years of my life. And he said, I remember, like, people would reach out to me to help me, and I would push them away. And he said, there's people today that I remember, man, they could have been great friends to me. They would text me, and I wouldn't answer them. They would call, and I wouldn't return the call. And I look back now, and I know God was sending them into my life, but I was in a pattern. And in my mind, I'm thinking, if my own dad would do that to me, what's somebody else going to do to hurt? He was living in a pattern. But the rest of the story is that he's become professionally educated, and his everyday job now is to help troubled youth. And so every day, he's hanging out with young people who are in a lot of pain, and he's doing the counterintuitive. And he comes to church and he worships, he's doing the counterintuitive. He's doing exactly what many like him would have gone down a road of self-destruction. And this is all over our church. I'm so proud of so many people in our church family. I look at faces around Champion Center and I'm like, way to go. I know that you might think, you know, I haven't arrived there yet and I still got a challenge, but I'm just high-fiving you. I don't know if you feel that or not, but I'm high-fiving so many of you who have come a long, long way. God's not done yet, but you just got to keep on the path. You got to keep on the pattern. You got to keep going where you're going. Amen? Okay, one final thought, and I'll be done. I'm holding this bottle, and maybe I don't know for sure how much it weighs. We call it 10, 12, 16 ounces. I'm not sure. It's a great looking water bottle, but I'm not sure what it weighs. But the actual weight doesn't really matter as much as how long you hold on to it. There's some of us that when I tell these big stories, traumatic stories, you're like, well, I've lived a pretty good, healthy life. I don't have some of those incidents. But perhaps if you think about it, there are still conversations that are haunting you. And there are still things that were said to you that are hanging over you. And there are still fractures inside of you. And it doesn't seem big compared to other people's pain. But I want to say to you that if I have to hold this for a couple minutes like this, it's no big deal. But if you ask me to hold it for an hour, my arm's going to get weary and start to ache a little bit. If you tell me to hold it for a day, it's going to start creating spasms in my shoulder and in my back. The weight doesn't change, but it gets heavier the longer you hold on to it. And it's the same way when you carry around internal weight in your life. You know, stress, offense, things that you hang on to and you carry it around, it just gets heavier. It just gets heavier. And it may seem like no big deal, but while we're here, why don't we just take the time, like in this series, like, why don't we just on this weekend, why don't we just give it to God? And why don't we just step into a place where we receive wellness and health? Whether it's small or whether it's great, why don't we turn our hearts toward heaven and lift our heads up? And maybe some of you, it's, you know, you can leave here today and make a list for a new pattern. Like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to start tomorrow with that. But then others of you, maybe it's just, I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. And I'm doing the right thing, but I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to be brought back. And I'm believing God for healing me completely of every hurt in my life. And let me say one more thing. I approach life right now with the expectation that I'm going to get hurt. Now you might say, well, that's pretty fatalistic. That's not being very positive. No, I think that this week it could happen, and next week it could happen. It's all part of life. But what I also know is that God's grace is sufficient for me. And I know that it may take me a day, it may take me five, it may take me a month, it may, however long, and I might be, you know, being a baby about it and, you know, telling Sheila, come make me some chicken noodle soup or something. I'm really depressed. But my point is that I've made a decision that when I get hurt, I will not stay hurt. I will get back up, and with God's help, I will be healed. I will be healed every time. Every time. Every time I get hurt, I'm going to get right back up, and I am going to receive the healing grace of God in my life. Amen? If you receive the word, just join me in prayer. Raise a hand or two in the air. God, I thank you today. Your word never returns void. It always accomplishes what it sent forth to do. You are the God that healeth us. You are the God of more than enough. You know, every single injury, every single hurt, every issue that's represented here today. And God, we reach out to you right now with faith and with confidence, Lord, that as we take a step that is counterintuitive, that the Holy Spirit meets us right there in that moment, and you give us strength, Lord, that we've not had before, so that we can mount up with wings like an eagle, so that we can run and not be weary, so that we can walk and walk and walk and never stop walking with health and provision and strength in our life. We thank you for healing. We receive it into our lives today. In the powerful name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select Give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.